ஓம் ஸ்ரீகுருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். பத்ரம் கர்ணேபி ஸ்ருணுயாம தேவாஹ, பத்ரம் பஷ்யே மாக்ஷபிர்யஜத்ராஹ, ஸ்திரைரங்கை ஈஸ்துஷ்டு வாகும் சஸ்தனூபிஹி விஷேம தேவஹி தம் யதாயுஹ. ஸ்வஸ்தி ந இந்திரோ விருத்தஸ்ரவாஹ, ஸ்வஸ்தி ந பூஷா விஸ்வவேதாஹ, ஸ்வஸ்தி நஸ்தார்க்ஷ்யோ அரிஷ்டநேமிஹி, ஸ்வஸ்தி நோ ப்ருஹஸ்பதிர் ததாது. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரி ஓம். ஸோ வி கன்க்ளூடட் இன் த லாஸ்ட் வெமினார் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் மாண்டூக்கிய காரிகா, நேம்லி வைத்தத்திய பிரகரணம். ஸோ பிஃபோர் வி ப்ரொசீட் டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் சாப்டர் ஆன் அத்வைத பிரகரணம், ஐ வுட் லைக் டு ஜஸ்ட் சம்மரைஸ் ஃபார் தி பெனிஃபிட் ஆஃப் ரிஃப்ரெஷிங் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர். ஸோ தி செவன்த் மந்த்ரா ஆஃப் தி மாண்டூக்கிய உபநிஷத் தட் கேவ் தி டெஃபனிஷன் ஆஃப் தி ரியல் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா, த துரியம். ஸோ இஃப் யூ ரிமெம்பர் த செவன்த் மந்த்ரா விச் ஐ ரிசைட்டட் மெனி டைம்ஸ், நாந்த பிரஜம் ந பகிஷ்பிரஜம் நோபயத பிரஜம் ந பிரஜானகணம் ந பிரஜம் நா பிரஜம் அதிருஷ்டம் அவ்வகாரியம் அக்ராஹியம் அலக்ஷணம் அச்சித்யம் அவ்யபதேஷ்யம் ஏகாத்ம பிரத்யேகசாரம் பிரபஞ்சோபசமம் சாந்தம் சிவம் அத்வைதம் சதுர்த்தம் மன்யந்தே ச ஆத்மா ச விஜ்ஞேய. ஸோ இன் திஸ் இம்பார்ட்டண்ட் டெஃபினிஷன் ஆஃப் ஆத்மா, வி ஆல்ரெடி செட் டூ வேர்ட்ஸ் ஆர் வெரி இம்பார்ட்டண்ட். ஒன் இஸ் பிரபஞ்சோபசமம் அண்ட் தி செகண்ட் ஒன் இஸ் அத்வைதம். ஸோ த வேர்ட் பிரபஞ்சோபசமம் தட் மீன்ஸ் பிரபஞ்ச மித்யாத்வம், த மித்யாத்வம் ஆஃப் பிரபஞ்ச த யூனிவர்ஸ், பிரபஞ்ச த வேக்கிங் வேர்ல்ட் த யூனிவர்ஸ், அண்ட் உபசமா ரெஃபர்ஸ் டு ஆப்சன்ஸ், தி ஆப்சன்ஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ். ஸோ பிரபஞ்சோபசமம் மீன்ஸ் தட் ஈவன் தோ வி எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஸ் த வேர்ல்ட் ஃபேக்சுவலி இட் இஸ் நாட் தேர், இட் இஸ் எக்ஸ்பீரியன்ஷியலி அவைலபிள் பட் ஃபேக்சுவலி நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். ஸோ இட் இஸ் அதர்வைஸ் கால்ட் மித்யாத்வம் ஆர் வைத்தத்யம். ஸோ பிரபஞ்சோபசமம், பிரபஞ்ச மித்யாத்வம் அண்ட் பிரபஞ்ச வைத்தத்யம், தே ஆல் மீன் தட் த வேர்ல்ட் இஸ் எ மித்யா. அண்ட் கௌடபாதாச்சாரியா ஹி டெடிகேட்ஸ் ஒன் ஃபுல் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் 38 ஸ்லோகாஸ் டு ஷோ த மித்யாத்வம் ஆஃப் தி யூனிவர்ஸ். தேர்ஃபோர் த சாப்டர் வாஸ் நேம்ட் வைத்தத்ய பிரகரணம். ஸோ த வேர்ட் அத்வைத்தம் தட் இஸ் டேக்கன் அப் இன் தி தேர்ட் சாப்டர் அண்ட் இன் 48 ஸ்லோகாஸ் கௌடபாதாச்சாரியா இஸ் கோயிங் டு எக்ஸ்பிளைன் தி அத்வைத்த பிரகரணம் அத்வைதம். ஸோ வைத்தத்யம் இஸ் த டாபிக் ஹியர் இன் த செகண்ட் சாப்டர். ஸோ வித் திஸ் பேக்ரவுண்ட் வி வில் சி தி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டாபிக்ஸ் கவர்ட் இன் திஸ் சாப்டர். ஸோ டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் த மித்யாத்வம் ஆஃப் த வேக்கிங் வேர்ல்ட், கௌடபாதாச்சாரியா ஹி யூசஸ் த ட்ரீம் வேர்ல்ட் ஆஸ் தி ஐடியல் எக்ஸாம்பிள் பிகாஸ் இட் இஸ் ஆல்சோ மித்யா. ஸோ திஸ் இஸ் த மெயின் அப்ரோச் ஆஃப் தி செகண்ட் சாப்டர். ஸோ நவ் தி ஃபஸ்ட் டாபிக் இஸ் த மித்யாத்வம் ஆஃப் தி ட்ரீம் வேர்ல்ட் கவர்ட் இன் ஸ்லோகாஸ் 1-3. ஸோ இன் தி ஃபஸ்ட் 3 ஸ்லோகாஸ் Gaudapadacharya, he first shows that the dream world is mithya so that it can be used as the example for the waking world. So he gives 2 reasons to show that the dream world is mithya. So uchita desha abhavat and uchita kala abhavat. So these are the 2 reasons. So any object to exist requires 2 things, time and space as coordinates. Further, sufficient time and space are required for an object's existence. For example, if both the time and space are not present, the object does not really exist. For example, if you say an elephant in a suitcase is a mithya statement because there is no sufficient space in the suitcase for the elephant to exist. And the whole dream world exists within my body, within my head, and within that space, all these objects like mountains, rivers, sun, moon, stars, they are all seen. So all these cannot exist in my head because of uchita desha kala abhavat, insufficient space, and actually insufficient space, so are mithya. So they are experienced, but they are not factual. Similarly, the events in the dream, they are mithya because events requiring several days, they happen in a couple of minutes of dream. They cannot factually happen because of uchita kala abhavat. So earlier one, uchita desha abhavat. Here uchita kala abhavat, insufficient time. Therefore, both things and events in the dream world must be admitted to be mithya. So when we are in dream, they appear as satyam. We can say that they are mithya in the waking state only, but in dream, mithya appears as satyam. Even though it appears as satyam, it is not satyam. So this must be said about the dream world with certainty. And the second topic is Aham Satyam Jagat Mithya from shlokas 4 to 18. So from the 4th to the 18th shloka, the second and the most important topic is covered, which is that the waking world is also mithya, like the dream world. That is the bombshell. Just as the dream world appears as satyam in dream, the waking world appears as satyam in the waking state. Even then, it is mithya only. Then what is the reason? Gaudapada Acharya says that here the reason is different. Insufficient space as the reason does not apply here, because it's a waking world. And Shankaracharya gives one reason, and Gaudapada Acharya gives another reason. But Shankaracharya's reason is tougher to accept than Gaudapada Acharya's reason. Shankaracharya says that the waking world is mithya because it is experienced like the dream world. So the experienced dream world is known to be mithya, and so the experienced waking world also should be mithya. If you remember the first day, the definition was, whatever is experienced is mithya. So Gaudapada Acharya, in the very powerful shloka number 6, he says that the dream world is mithya because it is subject to arrival and departure. The waking world is available in the waking state, but the entire waking world disappears when you switch over to from the dream waking state to dream state or deep sleep. So the moment you change the state, the entire waking world disappears and dream world appears. And in dream, it does not appear as dream, but it appears like a waking world. Each one appears in its own respective state and disappears in the other state. So both the worlds must have equal status only. Therefore, since the dream world is known to be mithya, then waking world also must be given the same mithya status. This is according to Gaudapada Acharya. So Gaudapada Acharya says that waking world is mithya because it is subject to arrival and departure, just like the dream world. And thereafter, several objections are raised, and all these objections are with an intention to show that dream is mithya and waking is satyam. So to prove these various definitions of reality were given, and four definitions they were given, they were all refuted. Four definitions. Now, the first is what? That the utility is the criterion of reality. If something is utilizable, then it should be real. That is the criterion. And Gaudapada Acharya, he refutes this by pointing out that each world is useful in the respective state and each is useless in the other state. For example, if you have dream water, that is useful in dream state but not in waking state. Similarly, waking water is not useful in the waking state but not in the dream state. So if utility is the criterion, both should be accepted as the same, and it cannot be said that one is satyam and the other is mithya. And the second criterion is, for reality, there is externality. The waking world is outside and dream world is inside. What is outside is real and what is inside is unreal or mithya. And Gaudapada Acharya here refutes this also by saying that the dream world is said to be internal and unreal only when you are in waking state. But in dream, dream world is experienced as external. Internality and externality, that logic will thus not work to show that the dream world is mithya and the waking world is real. And the third criterion suggested for reality is continuity. So continuity, the waking world continues day after day, whereas the last night's dream does not continue today. So Gaudapadacharya says that the dream world is known to be not continuous only in the waking state, but when you are in dream, the dream world will appear to be continuous. In short, the mistake what we commit is, we look at the waking world as the waker and dream world also as the waker. This way we cannot arrive at reality. Each world has to be looked upon from its own corresponding state. Both will be real in its own state and both will be absent in the other state. And the fourth criterion suggested for reality is that whatever is clearly available is real. I am summarizing. So dream is vague and so it should be unreal. And Gaudapada's answer is, dream world is unreal only from the standpoint of the waking state. When in dream, every event is clear. So clarity cannot be used to differentiate between dream and waking world. So utility, externality, continuity and clarity, they cannot be criteria for reality to show that dream is mithya but waking is satyam. So the criterion therefore is what? Whatever is subject to arrival and departure is mithya, and whatever is not subject to arrival and departure alone should be satyam. So therefore both the waking state and dream state are mithya. Then comes the crucial question. Both the waking and dream worlds are mithya. So if the dream world is mithya, I know it does not have an independent reality of its own. And if the dream world is projected by me, supported by me, and experienced by me. If you remember, I use the acronym PSE, projected, supported, experienced by me through the dream body, then the waking world must be also projected, supported, and experienced by me alone. So I know that I am the PSE of the dream world, but what about the waking world? Who is the PSE of the waking world? Gaudapadacharya, he gives a mind-boggling, unbelievable, and difficult to accept answer. He says, I am the PSE of dream world and I alone am PSE of waking world also. When I am in dream, if someone tells me that I am the projector of the dream, I will not accept, but will accept it only after I wake up. In dream, the dream will not be accepted as a projection. Similarly, in the waking world, I will not accept this world as my projection. Gaudapadacharya says in shloka number 12 that as Atma, I am the projector, I am the supporter, and I am the experiencer of the waking world also. I use two shaktis for this purpose. Nidra Shakti for being the PSE, projector, sustainer, and experiencer of dream world, and Maya Shakti of the waking world. So the meaning of the word I is the consciousness principle, Chaitanyam, which is Satyam, and it is not subject to arrival and departure. So the waking Deshakala comes, I am there. Waking Deshakala goes, I am there. I means the consciousness, Chaitanyam. Same way the dream Deshakala comes, I am there. The dream Deshakala goes, I am there. So even time and space appear and disappear in me, the observer, the witness consciousness, Chaitanyam, the Avastatraya Sakshi, that principle. Aham Satyam Prapancha is Mithya. So Gaudapadacharya says that as long as I don't know the Satyam, Mithya appears as though Satyam, seemingly Satyam. When the rope is not known, the rope snake, which is mithya, will appear as satyam. Ignorance of satyam converts mithya into satyam, which is a major mistake. When rope is mistaken for snake, it becomes a serious problem. Mithya mistaken as satyam, the waking world will create serious problems when it is mistaken as satyam. That is, mithya mistaken as satyam will create problems because mithya is unstable. When we take Mithya world as Satyam, we seek support and security from the unstable Mithya objects, name, fame, power, position, insurance, and even relationships. Mithya never remains the same. Because of the ignorance of I am Satyam and Jagat is Mithya, we are always facing problems. Satyam alone is stable. I am Satyam, world is Mithya. It is not an academic knowledge, but it makes a big change in our life itself. The way we look at us, the way we look at the world. There is a huge perspective change, which is the cause of moksha itself. And the third topic is mistakes concerning reality. Talks about the mistakes concerning the reality in shlokas 19 through 29. So from shlokas 19 to 29, Gaudapada Acharya talks about several mistakes committed by several people because of the ignorance of one truth. I am the only one truth, and when I miss myself, I mistake one object or the other as the truth. Science considers matter as reality. Various systems of philosophy, like Sankhya philosophy, that thinks Prakriti is real. And Nyaya Vaisheshika, they think that Paramanu is real. Various religions think that various anatma deities conceived as sitting in remote lokas, in that loka and this loka, they are all real. All these are mistaking anatma as satyam, because I, the atma, is missed as satyam. And how many confusions are there? Gaudapada Acharya says that truth is one, but confusions are many. He gives a long list of them. And at the end, Gaudapada Acharya makes a positive note. We are not going to go through all these details now, because they were all covered during the regular class. So he makes a positive note, which is very important, because of which we respect all religions and all deities. He says that even though anatma is mithya, anatma is pervaded by atma, because the isness of anatma comes from atma. Isness means the world is, that object is, this planet is. That isness comes from the existence principle, sat. That comes from atma, like the isness of the snake comes from the rope. The isness of the farthest dream star, that also comes from the waker. Therefore, atma pervades the anatma. And so, mithya has got satyam underlying it. So we don't just discount mithya as mithya and throw it away, but it has underlying satyam in it. So even our prayers to the anatma deities will bless us, because that is the underlying atma. So in shloka 29, Gaudapada Acharya says that the pursuit of any deity will bless. So Dvaita Bhakti will bring a person to Jnana Yoga. So do not criticize Dvaita Bhakti. At the right time, everyone will transcend duality and come to Advaita knowledge. And the fourth topic covered is the summary of the teaching given in shlokas 4 to 18. They were given in shlokas 30 to 34. So from verses 30 to 34, Gaudapada Acharya, he summarizes the teaching he gave in shlokas 4 to 18. That teaching is what? That the waking world and the dream world are mithya only. In short, what is that? Dvaitam is mithya, whether it is waking or dream dvaitam. Advaitam is the substratum. Turiyam atma alone is satyam. Dvaitam is mithya can be explained in another way also. When you talk of two things, for example, you are counting them as two. Because of what? Each one is different from the other spatially, time-wise, or attribute-wise, then only you can count them as two. So, Dvaitam is concluded because we see differences always. If Dvaitam is Mithya, difference also is Mithya. So, this is unique to Mandukya. Compared to all other places, Mandukya is unique. The difference also is Mithya. In the other Vedantic texts, this is not dealt with this deeply as in Mandukya. Difference is Mithya, meaning, what does it mean? All differences are experience, but when you try to prove the difference logically, you will not be able to prove it. For example, if you take an example, clay and pot. Are these two? Are these one? Are one and the same? This is the question. It is difficult to prove either way. For example, suppose you say that they are different, the clay and pot. If they are different, you can give away one and keep the other, give away the clay and keep the pot. That is not possible. So it cannot be said that clay and pot are different. Then can you say that pot and clay are one and the same? That cannot be said also, because what function that pot has, the clay by itself does not have. Clay cannot hold water, but a pot can. So from the standpoint of function or karma, they seem different because one has utility and the other does not. So they seem to be different. So are they identical or different? That status means, that means what? The question is what? Are they identical or different means? Their status is indeterminable. And Gaudapada Acharya says that similarly, any type of difference between Atma and Anatma is experienced but not explainable. Finally, even Advaitam and Dvaitam cannot be treated as two separate things. Look at how many big bombshells. Both are experienced in the waking world. Advaitam as the Adhishtanam and Dvaitam as the Adhyasam, the superposition. We do talk about Advaita, Dvaita, Veda from the empirical angle. But from the Paramarthika Drishti, Brahman cannot be said to be either Advaitam or Dvaitam. So Atma Anatma Beda, Anatma Anatma Beda, Advaita Dvaita Beda are differences. They are experienced but not logically provable. Therefore, Dvaitam is Mithya, Beda is Mithya, I am the Chaitanyam consciousness, I am Satyam. So once we have understood Mithya as Mithya, then we respect the experience, transactions, utility, all of them, they are all Mithya. As a Jnani, respect all the three that are available in Mithya. But remember that Mithya not being Satyam does not have stability. Mithya is unpredictable, uncontrollable, and unsustainable. Therefore, experience the things of the world as they appear and disappear, but do not hold on to any of them. Holding on to Mithya is like a drowning man who holding on to a floating straw. Experience the world, but do not depend on it for peace, security, and happiness. For that, we have to rely upon Atma or Brahman. And until we know Brahman, depend upon Ishwara. Till that time, depend upon Ishwara. Things will arrive and depart, but their arrival and departure will not affect me. This is the practical advantage of the Aham Advaitam Satyam Jagat Dvaitam Mithya knowledge. And Gaudapada Acharya says that only a person who has this knowledge can teach the Upanishad properly, because Mandukya has lot of radical sayings. And the fifth topic is the sadhanas and the phalam, covered in shlokas 35 to 38. So from shlokas 35 to 38, Gaudapada Acharya, he talks about sadhanas and benefits, phalam. So there is series of sadhanas described in the scriptures. They all must be followed. Mandukya Karika will work only when you have gone through the stages of sadhana, Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga, Shravanam, Mananam, all that. So Vita, Raga, Bayat, Raga, Bayak, Krodaha is Karma Yoga. Munibihi, these are all we saw in the shlokas, is Upasana Yoga. And Vedaparagaihi is Shravanam and Mananam, which is consistent and systematic study. So at this stage, even if you do not want this knowledge, you will understand and gain the knowledge, if a person can go through all these. Understanding alone is not enough. In the class, knowledge will come. And what it will do? It will sit in one corner of the mind. We have to practice Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam also is of two types. samadhi abhyasa rupa nididhyasanam and brahma abhyasa rupa nididhyasanam. The samadhi abhyasa rupa nididhyasanam is what? Spending some regular time dwelling on the teaching every day. And the latter is what? The brahma abhyasa nididhyasanam is trying to be alert during all worldly transactions. Remembering the teaching in the background. I used to tell the sthayi bhava. This tamburastruti in all these concepts. So these two nididhyasanams are the final stage of sadhana. So if a person goes through all these five stages, he will be soaked in reality with eyes open. With eyes, he will be always, that means he will be always alert. Whether the eyes are open or eyes are closed, he will be alert. And he will not miss the Advaita Satyam. Outside, Atma is available as the changeless existence. And inside, Atma is available as the changeless consciousness. So this, we already said, Sadeva Chittim, Sideva Chata. So the Satchit Atma is not lost sight of in time. It is like not losing sight of the screen when you see the movie. The moment the screen is forgotten, the movie becomes a problem. This abidance in Advaita Atma, which is called Atmanishta, Jnananishta, Turiyanishta, Sthita Prajna, if you remember the second chapter, or Brahmi Sthitihi, is Jivan Mukti. Therefore, may you follow the sadhana and assimilate Vaitatya Prakaranam, the Mithyatvam of the Prapancha. Now we will see the third chapter, namely Advaita Prakaranam. So before we go to Advaita Prakaranam, let us just also see some points to refresh ourselves. So the third chapter of the Karika, Mandukya Karika, is titled Advaita Prakaranam, and the entire Mandukya Karika is a teaching extracted from the Mandukya Upanishad, in which the most important mantra is the seventh mantra that we just read in the beginning of today's webinar, where the definition of Atma is given. And it is named Turiya Atma, Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna. They are pseudo-atmas. And the Turiya Atma is the real Atma. So in the definition of Atma, two words are extremely important, which Gaudapada Acharya takes up for analysis. One of the words is Prapanchopashamam. That is the world, Mithyatvam of the world. So this Mithyatvam was analyzed in the second chapter. We just went through the entire summary. So Gaudapada Acharya uses the word Vaitathyam for Mithya. So Mithya, the waking world we experience, is only a conditional reality, like a dream world. So waking world is real only in waking state, just as dream world is real in dream state. Since both of them are real only in the respective states, they are not absolutely real. So this conditional reality is called Mithyatvam. So if waking and dream worlds are both Mithya, conditionally real, then what is absolutely real? So it is the I, the observing consciousness principle, the Chaitanyam, the Turiya Atma alone is the Satyam. I am the PSE, the projector, sustainer and the experiencer of the waking world. And that was established in the Vaitatya Prakaranam we just saw. Now in the third chapter, Gaudapada Acharya takes another profound word for analysis, and that word coming from the seventh mantra is Advaitam. So that is what? So Prapanchopashamam, now Advaitam. And this word, Advaitam, is elaborately analyzed in the third chapter, and so it is called Advaita Prakaranam. That consists of 48 shlokas. The previous chapter consists of 38 shlokas. Now this contains 48 shlokas. And the Upanishad points out that Atma is Advaitam, and that everyone should compulsorily know the Advaita Atma. Sa Atma, sa Vijnayaha. And why does the Upanishad say this? Gaudapada Acharya answers that Dvaitam is the cause of several problems called samsara. And so Advaita Jnanam is the only solution for this samsara problem. All the Upanishads have repeatedly said the same thing. Kathopanishad also says, whoever is in Dvaitam will go from mortality to mortality. In Taittiri Upanishad, actually in the Bhrigavalli, it says, Brahmanandavalli, it says, Yadahe vaishaye tasmin adrishye natmiye nirukte nilayane abhayam pratishtam vindate ataso bhayangato bhavati Yadahe vaishaye tasmin udaramantaram kurute atatasya bhayam bhavati tatveva bhayam vidushomanvanasya. Even if the slightest duality is perceived, one will feel insecurity. He will have fear, limitation, helplessness, anger, depression, all of them will be there. Even if the slightest amount of duality is perceived. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Dvaitam is cause of insecurity, fear, all that. Yatra hi dvaitam iva bhavati, taditara itaram jigrati, taditara itaram pasyati, taditara itaram shrunoti, taditara itaram abhivadati, taditara itaram manute, taditara itaram vijanati. Yatraiva asya sarvatmaiva bhut tat kena kam jigret tat kena kam pashet, goes on asking. So this is everyone's problem, and Advaita Jnanam is the only remedy. So the problem is not absence of Advaitam, but it is the absence of Advaita Jnanam. When we say that Dvaitam is the problem, we should note the following. What is that? Experience of duality is not a problem at all. In fact, it is enjoyment. Variety is enjoyment. Dvaita transaction is also not a problem. Then what is the problem? Taking Dvaitam as Satyam alone, that is the problem. Because Dvaitam is not Satyam, but it is only Mithya. When Mithya Dvaitam is mistaken as Satyam, one expects stability that leads to emotional leaning or dependence on it. Being Namarupa, Mithya Dvaitam is not stable and is always changing. Relying on unstable things for stability creates lot of problems, that is samsara. So the reliance happens because of mistaking Mithya to be Satyam. Therefore, we should stop emotionally relying upon Mithya Dvaitam and start relying on Satya Advaitam. So the Satya Advaitam is what? Turiya Atma in the language of Mandukya Upanishad. So this Advaita Jnanam is important for everyone. So with this introduction, now Gaudapada Acharya, he starts the third chapter. Let us read shloka number 1. Upasanashrito dharmaha chate brahmani vartate pragutpattirajam sarvam tena asau krupana sprutaha. So upasanashritaha dharmaha jate brahmani vartate. The jiva who is committed to upasana, upasanashritaha, he remains in that brahman which is subject to birth. Jate brahmani vartate, he thinks it is subject to birth. Prag utpattehe ajam sarvam. All this was unborn. Brahman, they are unborn before creation. Prag utpattehe, before creation. Ajam, all of them, ajam sarvam, all this was unborn. Tenasau kripanaha smritaha. So, tenasau, he is considered miserable, kripanaha. So, this is the actual meaning of the, literal meaning of the shloka. Now, let us look at the discussion. Now, Gaudapada Acharya, he says that the third chapter is very important because it deals with Advaita Jnanam. So, any type of Dvaitam is a cause of samsara. And there are two types of Dvaitam also. One is called secular Dvaitam and the other is called sacred Dvaitam. And what is secular Dvaitam? It consists of I, the Jivatma, and the observed world, the Anatma, Anatma Prapancha. So, this Jivatma Anatma Dvaitam is secular Dvaitam because everyone knows this as what? As I am here and the world is there. In addition to the secular Dvaitam, Shastra also introduces another type of Dvaitam in the context of Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga. So, Veda Purva Bhaga, the Veda Purva section consists of Karma, Karma section, the Veda Purva. That deals with Karma Yoga, and Upasana section that deals with Upasana Yoga, which also involves duality. In the Karma Yoga section, what happens? I, the Jivatma, am the worshipper of the Lord. And the Paramatma is Ishvara, introduced as someone to be worshipped. So this is worshipper, worshipped Dvaitam, which is called sacred Dvaitam. And in the Upasana Yoga, even when we drop rituals and take up meditation, there also we have Dvaitam. I am the meditator and Ishvara is the meditated. This is called the meditator, meditated Dvaitam. And Gaudapada Acharya says, even though the sacred Dvaitam is considered very sacred and auspicious, that sacred Dvaitam also will be cause of samsara only. Any Dvaitam is cause of samsara, secular or sacred. Therefore, everyone has to transcend the secular and the sacred Dvaitam and come to Advaitam. That is the teaching. So, Gaudapada Acharya, he starts the third chapter with the disturbing news that even sacred duality is cause of samsara. Bhagavan, Bhakta, that duality, even that is cause of samsara. It may look like that Gaudapada Acharya is destroying all bhakti and all that, which requires the deity, the devata, devotee duality. But this message is directed towards the advanced students of Vedanta who have studied Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads, particularly the Mundaka Upanishad, Katha Upanishad, Keno Upanishad, Kaivalya Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad, all these. So if sacred Dvaitam itself is samsara, why should Veda introduce Dvaitam at all? The reason is that only through Dvaita Bhakti one can come to Advaita Jnanam. Dvaita Bhakti is a temporary solution for samsara, but Advaita Jnanam is the permanent solution. It is like first aid and the main treatment. We should engage in Devata Bhakti initially, but soon realize the limitation of Devata Bhakti and come to Advaita Jnanam. And Gaudapada Acharya says that one who is a permanent Dvaita Bhakta is an unfortunate person. One who is a Dvaita Bhakta and wants to come to Advaita Jnanam is a discriminating person. But without Dvaita Bhakti, Advaita Jnanam is impossible. And without Advaita Jnanam, Dvaita Bhakti is incomplete. See, these statements are all very profound statements. One who is Advaita Bhakta and wants to come to Advaita Jnanam is a discriminating person. Without Dvaita Bhakti, Advaita Jnanam is impossible. And without Advaita Jnanam, Dvaita Bhakti is incomplete. Dvaita Bhakti is not an end in itself. Being Dvaita Bhakta is not harmful at all. But dying as a Dvaita Bhakta is unfortunate because he will not be able to get Jivan Mukti or Videha Mukti. And Gaudapada Acharya strongly criticizes those people who wish to remain permanently in Dvaita Bhakti. They are religious samsaris with different religious marks, symbol, vibhuti, nama, all that. Gaudapada Acharya further says that when these people engage in Dvaita Bhakti, they look upon themselves as Jivatma and Ishvara as Paramatma. They create a division in Atma, which is indivisible. And they created a relationship also. In this relationship, there is a notion that Ishvara, the Paramatma, is the creator, the cause. And I, the Jivatma, am the created, the effect. So this cause-effect relationship between Paramatma and Jivatma is the biggest mistake the bhaktas commit. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya wishes to show that between Paramatma and Jivatma, there is no cause-effect relationship. Created-creator relationship is not there because there is no Paramatma-Jivatma duality at all. Then what is there? Advaita Atma alone is there. Paramatma is not the karanam for Jivatma. This is the main teaching of the third chapter. Gaudapada Acharya uses several Sanskrit words in special meanings here. The Jivatma who is a devotee in permanent Dvaita Bhakti has the notion that Brahman is the cause, creator, and mistakes himself to be the effect, the created. The devotee falsely thinks that he was with Bhagavan originally, and at the time of creation, he was forcibly separated from the Lord and trapped in this world. Then the goal of this devotee is to go back and reach the Lord to never come back again. This is the wrong concept of moksha according to Dvaita Bhaktas. This is all right. At the Karma Yoga and Upasana Yoga level, at the sadhana level, Paramatma is not the cause and Jivatma is not the effect. There is no such relationship at all because they are two separate, they are not two separate entities. The Jivatma and Paramatma are not two separate entities. Eka Atma alone appears as dual. As long as the Dvaita Bhakta does not know this fact, he is an unfortunate, miserable samsari. Gaudapada Acharya says that there is a way out for this jiva also. Shloka number 2. Ato vakshyamya karpanyam ajati samatam gatam yata na jayate kinchit jayamanam samantataha. Ataha, therefore, vakshyami, I shall teach that Brahman which is akarpanyam, free from all miseries, ajati is unborn, and samatam is uniform. And I shall also teach yata na jayate kinchit jayamanam samantataha. How anything which is born anywhere around is not really born. Na jayate kinchit. So this is the meaning of the shloka. Now let us look at the discussion. Gaudapada Acharya, he says that he will teach that Brahman which is not a cause at all and does not create anything. The non-causal Brahman is called Advaitam Brahman. The teaching, the meaning of, the technical meaning of Advaitam is what? That which does not produce any second thing other than itself. The non-causal Brahman is that which never produces anything, does not multiply into many things, or never divides into many things, but remains Advaitam all the time. Brahman does not produce the world, the Jivatma, and any duality also. They all appear all right, but they are not produced. That non-causal Brahman, which remains Advaitam all the time, can never multiply, divide, or produce anything. Brahman is free from all modification. What is changeless cannot multiply, divide, or produce. As long as one remains in Dvaitam, he will be subject to limitation, anger, frustration, depression, all those will be there. Even though experientially many things seem to be both continuously out of Brahman, that creation is only a seeming creation but not a factual creation. Gaudapada Acharya does not negate the seeming creation at all. The creation seems to come out of Brahman. He will show that the creation does not really come out of Brahman also. He will teach how nothing is created even though the world seems to be created out of Brahman. Experiential creation is present, that is true, but factual creation is not. In Purusha Sukta, we find the statement, Ajayamano Bahudha Vijayate. Without creating the world, Ajayamanaha, Bhagavan seemingly creates the world, Bahudha Vijayate. We will ask, how is it possible then? Vedanta says that all of us are creating the dream world during dream without really creating anything. The dream world is only a seeming creation, but not a factual creation because it is negated upon waking up. Just like the dream world is an appearance in the mind, the entire world, waking world, is also an appearance only. Brahman is not a cause, and world is not an effect. Between Brahman and the world, cause-effect relationship is not there. But the Upanishads, in the beginning state of teaching, all Upanishads, they said that Brahman is the cause and the world effect. We saw all that. But in Mandukya Karika, we withdraw that teaching and say that Brahman is not a cause and world is not an effect. So this unique method of Vedantic teaching is to introduce an idea and withdraw the idea later. So the introduction of an idea is called adhyaropa. It's a false attribution. And withdrawal of the idea is called apavada, subsequent retraction. We have seen all these terms earlier. So in the process, pure consciousness as Brahman has to be revealed. It is exactly like a person asking for water, for example. Get me water. Water cannot be given by itself. A cup is introduced to contain water, and after drinking the water, cup is withdrawn. The cup introduction is adhyaropa, and its withdrawal after the water is consumed is apavada. Similarly, in Vedanta, several concepts are introduced to reveal the pure consciousness or chaitanyam. And once we have known the pure changeless consciousness, all the ideas introduced before they are all withdrawn. So every single idea that Vedanta introduces, Vedanta withdraws. And among such ideas, one idea is the cause and effect prakriya. So Brahman is introduced as the cause originally, and later the cause is removed. That idea is removed. So if Brahman is really not a cause, then why is it introduced initially as a cause? So if you are going to withdraw it later, why do you introduce at all? The Upanishad wants to say that Brahman is as though a cause. And from this example, you should take the message and drop the word cause. Do not hold on to the word cause, which is introduced to convey an idea only. And so extract the idea, like drinking the water, and thereafter drop the word cause, or the drop the cup. Now the question is, what is the message to be extracted? For example, if you look at worldly experience, we have got causes producing effects. Like for example, gold producing ornaments. What is the job of the cause? Cause lends existence to the effect. This is the primary message. How do you prove gold gives existence to the ornaments? If you remove the gold, ornaments do not exist. Once you say Brahman is cause and world is effect, exactly like the cause gold lending existence to ornaments. Brahman lends existence to the world, that alone is the message. Once you have understood that the world does not have an existence of its own, independent existence of its own, and that it only gets existence from Brahman, the word cause, that should be withdrawn. Understand that Brahman lends existence to the world. What is the message? The world does not have an existence of its own and seems to be existent by borrowing existence from Brahman, Turiyam. And what is that Turiyam? That Turiyam is I. I lend existence to the world. I means the subject, the Atma. I lend existence to the world, and once that idea is grasped, do not retain the word cause anymore. And if you hold on to the word cause, there will be so many other problems, because generally the cause undergoes change. If you hold on to the word cause, we will think that Brahman also undergoes change. So do not hold on to the word cause too much. Similarly, saying Brahman is the intelligent cause also is a problem. An intelligent cause produces something with a purpose. If Brahman is an intelligent cause for the creation, the question is, what is the purpose of this creation? That cannot be answered also. So intelligent and material cause are only temporarily introduced. Brahman is neither an intelligent nor a material cause. You know, this is different from the teachings in all other Upanishads. In Mandukya, we withdraw all those teachings. So these words are used to convey only an idea that Brahman lends existence to the world. So the word should not be taken literally. This is like saying that someone is a pillar of the organization. We normally say, you know, oh, he was the pillar of this organization, that organization. Here the word pillar is never taken literally. With the Upanishad statements, we should take the meaning that the Upanishad wish to convey, and not our meaning that what we want. So once the intended meaning of pillar is understood in the statement, the word pillar can be dropped. Similarly, when it is said that Brahman is the creator, the word creator should not be taken literally also. When Brahman is said to be material cause, it should not be taken literally as material cause also, because that can undergo change. Neither is Brahman the creator, nor it is a material cause. In fact, it is neither an intelligent cause nor a material cause. Then what is it? Extract the central message that it lends existence to the world without any change whatsoever. No desire is involved. You know, in Taittiriya, it says, so kamayata bahu syam praja yeyeti. We saw that. The Brahman desired to become many. No such desire is involved. No will, no plan, or no change is involved. By its mere presence, Brahman lends existence to the mithya world. World seems to exist because of the borrowed existence. So Brahman is not a cause. This introduction of the idea that Brahman is cause is called Adhyaropa Prakaranam. And negation of Brahman as the cause is called Apavada Prakaranam. So the entire Mantukya Karika is Apavada Pradana Vedanta, the toughest part in the Vedanta. The teacher takes away all the ideas introduced as if he is contradicting himself. All the other Upanishads that we study, they are all Adhyaropa Pradana Vedanta. Whereas Apavada is very brief in those Upanishads. But Mandukya Karika is Apavada Pradana Vedanta, wherein Adhyaropa is very brief. Therefore, it is extremely tough, because Gaudapada Acharya will consistently say that there is no existent world. Then what is there? There is an appearing world, but there is no existent world. A non-existent world but appearing world is called mithya. This has to be grasped. Very tough. This mithya world is supported by Brahman, which is Turiyam, which is you yourself, the subject. This is the message of the third and the fourth chapters, the Advaita program, the final one. So Gaudapada Acharya is going to present this message in four stages. First, he says that no jiva is born out of Brahman by giving an appropriate example. This is the logical negation of the experiencing individual, the jiva. And the next topic is going to be negation of the world, creation of the world. By giving another example, he will logically show that there is no creation of the world at all. And the third topic he will take is, even by scriptural analysis, the same conclusion about jiva's birth can be reached. And the fourth is, by scriptural analysis, the world creation also is negated. So Gaudapada Acharya negates the existence of the world, but not the experience of the world. The point is missed by a lot of people. Gaudapada Acharya never says that you will not experience the world. The world experience will continue before and after the Mandukya Karika study. So the experience will continue, but you will never assign existence to the world. Now we will take up the first stage of the four stages. So sloka number 3. Atma hyakasvajjivaihi ghatakashairi oditaham gadadivaccha sanghataihi jatavedanni darshanam. Atma hi akashavate. These are all simple things we can understand directly. Atma is indeed like space, akashavate. Jivaha ghatakashaihi yuvoditaha. Jivaha is born in the form of jiva, which are like the part space, ghatakasha, that is born. And ghatadivat cha sangataihi, in the form of bodies, they are all born. They are like the parts, various parts. And jatavedaha nidarshanam. This is the illustration with regard to the birth of jivas. That's what is given here. So the first part of is the what? Is the logical negation of the jiva srishti, the creation of jiva. So the example Gaudapada uses here is that of space, which is an important concept in Vedanta, space. Brahman, Atma or Turiyam is often compared to space because consciousness principle is very similar to space, Chaitanyam. What are the similarities? We have seen all this earlier in Taittiriya discussions, we have seen all of them. So what are the similarities? Both are intangible, space and consciousness, they are intangible and invisible. And we understand space, but we don't see it because it has no color or form. Both are formless, both are all-pervading, both are indivisible, both can accommodate everything, and both are uncontaminated. Space is also indivisible. So consider an open space, for example. A potter creates many parts from the clay of the earth. And once the parts are created, the all over space, which is open, every open space is available in the pot also. Now we have space within the pot and outside the pot. Therefore, we use the expression outside space and inside space, unenclosed space and enclosed space. So even though we use two phrases, open space and enclosed space, really speaking, space has not been divided. It is only seemingly divided. This is the first seeming division that we make. And once you introduce inside space, the enclosed space has become many as it were. Since there are several parts, then we start using adjectives to indicate the seemingly different sizes of the enclosed space in the parts. Small space, big space. So the words are many, the adjectives are many. But how many spaces are really there? There is only one space with a seeming division. Open space is not available for any function. Space becomes useful only when it becomes enclosed. Open land is useless for living, but a building that encloses the space gives the land utility. The building is not the main concern, but the space within is. Transactional utility belongs to the enclosed space. The useless space has now become a useful space. Advaitam space has now become pluralistic space with so many jivas. This plurality looks as though factual plurality. It looks as though space has become many, but all the time space continues to be Advaitam. If space can be seemingly divided, for example, and the seemingly divided space can become useful for transaction, the same thing is happening for Chaitanyam consciousness also. Consciousness by itself is not available for any transaction. Just as many parts are introduced, many bodies are introduced out of Maya or Prakriti. When many bodies and minds are created, the all-pervading one consciousness is available within the body also. Now there are two consciousnesses as it were. One is the external consciousness, which is not available for any transaction. And the other is an internal consciousness, enclosed consciousness obtaining within my body-mind complex. So the enclosed consciousness is available for all the transactions. And the first and the foremost transaction that happens when the consciousness is enclosed within the body-mind is I am. I am that ego. I am. The first consciousness is called self-awareness. The open consciousness without body-mind complex does not have self-awareness. But when it is enclosed, I feel I am. But the very same consciousness enclosed in the body-mind develops self-awareness, I am. So this enclosed consciousness with self-awareness is called Jivatma. So this self-awareness, I am, does not refer to the body, mind, thoughts, or even the reflected consciousness. That is only a byproduct. If you know the reflected consciousness, original consciousness, all those discussions we had earlier. But this refers to the original consciousness. This enclosed consciousness is called Jivatma. The unenclosed, all-pervading consciousness is called Paramatma. So external consciousness is Paramatma and internal consciousness is Jivatma. Then is there a division between them? Is there a division between part space and total space? Don't say that division is there. Don't say that division is not there also. The answer should be what? There is a seeming division between total space and part space. Similarly, Jivatma and Paramatma are seemingly divided, but really speaking, there is no division at all. When the part is born, the part space is enclosed within the part, which is called the part space. Can it be said that the potter created part space? Can we say that? The potter creates only what? The part, but does not create a part space. Total space has not undergone a change to produce a part space. Total space has not been divided into produce part space. Part space has not been produced at any time. When the part is created, the enclosed part space seems to be created. Before the creation of the part, the enclosed space was not available. After the creation of the part, the enclosed space became available. Therefore, we tend to say that the enclosed space is created, but the partner does not create it. Similarly, when the body-mind complex is born, the total consciousness is available in body-mind complex, which is named Jivatma. Jivatma is not born. Then what is born? The name part space is born. We have introduced the name part space for the sake of transaction. Jivatma is never born in all the three periods of time. And only the name Jivatma is used for the sake of transaction. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad talks about the procedure of the naming of a baby that is born. It says that the parent should name the child as Brahman only. Why? Because the child is Brahman. If every child is named Brahman, then we will have confusion, right? So the Upanishad says that even though every child is Jivatma, which is none other than the all-pervading consciousness Brahman, let the name Brahman remain the secret name and let the parents give the baby another name. Similarly, the word Jivatma is born, but we are Paramatma all the time. So Gaudapada Acharya says that your name is Jivatma for transaction purposes, but you are Paramatma. One total space is as though born in the form of many part spaces. Only the word part space is born even though the part space is not born. There is no difference in space now inside the part and that same space that was there before the part. In the same way, one consciousness, Paramatma, Brahman, is seemingly born in the form of the Jivatmas. Then the next question is, what is the part born out of? Part space is seemingly born out of total space. And what is part born out of? We will say part is born out of earth. Gaudapada Acharya says, part is born out of space only. Modern quantum physics will support this perhaps. Taittiriya Upanishad says that from space, akashad vayuhu vayor agnihi agne rapahad be prithivi prithivya oshadayaha. So from space, air, fire, water, earth, they are all born. So from earth, the part is born. So part is actually born out of space. Just as parts are born out of space, all the body-mind complexes are also born out of Paramatma only. Space is the cause of part and the seeming cause of part space. Paramatma is the cause of Jivatma and Paramatma is the cause of the body also. So this example of part and part space, that should be used to understand creation. And Gaudapada Acharya will analyze the example further later. I think I'll stop here. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwaraha Sri Krishna namastu narayana.